Okay, let's turn to the chapter 47, verse 1.
Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen."
Now, if you remember, Joseph told his brothers and father, the best land is in Egypt, is Goshen. You go and stay in Goshen. His father went and stayed in Goshen. And now he told them, when Pharaoh calls you, I introduce you to Pharaoh. Just tell them that we are shepherds. And this is what we do. They hate the shepherds, and they will tell you to stay away from us, and the Goshen will be best place for you. And so he trained them, and now he tells the Pharaoh, my people are in Goshen. Now he wanted approval from the Pharaoh. Can they stay in Goshen? Because this is Joseph's idea, but he wants Pharaoh's approval. Joseph never did anything wrong, even though he had the desire to help his parents, help his brethren, even though he had a hole in charge, he wanted Pharaoh to put his input. If the Pharaoh would have said, your brothers cannot live in Goshen, then he would have said, okay, let them go to Canaan and I'll help them there. But this was God's doing. See what happens, verse 2.
And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh.
Now he took five brethren. Do you know he had almost 11 brothers? These people's name is not given, the five brothers. But you can figure it out, Leah's four sons and Rachel's one son, all together five. And so all his mother's child and his father's first wife's children, he took them five and presented to Pharaoh. Verse 3.
And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers.
See here, these brethren were trained, and Joseph told them when the question asked, give the right answer. And this is what we have to learn. Sometime you go to school, go to church, and you learn something. And when somebody asks you a question, don't scratch your head. Give the right answer. If you listen properly, you will never go wrong. When I used to sit in the class, any class, Bible class, and when I was studying, I would focus myself to the teacher. Not only that, what I used to do, if the teacher says, tomorrow we are going to have Genesis 47, I will read that chapter three times or more. And I will be prepared when the teacher is teaching. And sometime I'll find the fault on teacher. You didn't say this properly. This verse doesn't say that. Could you go back and read it? And the teacher starts scratching their head. Why? Because I was studying. When I was in Bible school, and teacher come and teach, and I would say, what is the next subject? And when teacher came and he said, nobody asked me that before. Why you want to know what I'm going to teach next week? I said, sir, so I can be prepared. The point I'm making, whatever you learn, teach. Don't mix anything. Do exactly what the Word of God is saying. The Word of God says, don't mix anything in the Word of God. We have pure Word of God. Memorize it, teach it, and you will never go wrong. Verse 4.
They said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle.
Can you imagine? This is what Joseph was thinking. Hope Pharaoh gives this land to my brethren. And by faith, he said, you are going to go there, stay there, and exactly Pharaoh did it. Exactly what they asked, and Pharaoh said, hey, not only Goshen, give the best land. So they got a Ramses, and they got a Goshen. And later on you read, they multiply, because they have rich food, they have a rich land, and they were so much growing. And not only that, Pharaoh is saying to Joseph, you know what? You people are doing cattle business and taking care of the sheep and goats. If you have some good people in your servants or anybody you know, could you introduce to me so I can keep them as a servant or a ruler to my cattle? That's what happens when you are a good believer. What you're going to do? You're going to tell some other people, hey, I go to International Christian Fellowship. I like it. Would you like to come? And that's the way to do it. If you're satisfied and your job is good, somebody will ask you, could you find somebody like you? We need them. And I gave up my job, and the man put a, what you call, almost 2,000 to 3,000 applications people gave it to him for my job. He could not find one person. So he came and said, 2,000 to 3,000 people applied, but I don't find anybody like you. I said, sir, I'm the only one like me. But if you want somebody like me, not exactly like me, but somebody like me, that's my younger brother. And I introduced to him to that job, and I gave up my job. The point I'm making, do good job. Somebody will find that you are a good student, a good servant, a good worker, a good manager, a good director. And they will say, hey, anybody like you? We want to hire them. That's what the Pharaoh is saying. Okay, verse 7.
And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage.
Now, as soon as Joseph introduced his father to Pharaoh, Jacob did not bow down to him and worshipped him. What did he say? I'm going to bless you. What the point I'm making here? We should not be bowed down to anybody. Only bow down to God. God is our source, not the people. He did not say, hey, Pharaoh is doing favor. Let me kiss his feet. In India, actually people kiss your feet. I'm not exaggerating. If they like you, and if you're a good man, or their mother or father, they actually come and kiss your feet. I'm talking about Hindus, not Christians. But Jacob didn't do that. Jacob didn't do that. Jacob says, I am a servant of God. I have higher authority than Pharaoh. Even though I'm in his land, eating his food, but because of my son. If my son was not there, today, Pharaoh's kingdom would have been destroyed. So he blessed the Pharaoh coming in, and he blesses Pharaoh going out. And Pharaoh says, how old are you? You know why people ask you, where, how old are you? They could not figure it out, their age. If you look younger than your age, they don't know what to say. So they ask you, how old are you? And if you say, I'm 130. Wow, 130. But he says, let me tell you, even though I'm living 130, my life was miserable. Why? Because when Joseph was 17, he's gone. And he was craving and crying, and miserable life he lived. He says, my life is so miserable, 130 years, but seems like yesterday. If you compare my life with my father and grandfather, they had a more blessed life than me, and they lived longer life than me. Why? They were godly people. That's why he said, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. These people lived for God. And until the last second, they lived like they are not going to die. They are going to live forever. But they knew when the time came, they didn't say, oh Lord, could you give me 4 more years, 10 more years, 15 more years? No. They were happy to go. And so that's what we are going to see in this chapter. So he told him, comparing to my parents, my life is short. Okay, verse 10.
And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh.
See, coming in, he blessed him. Going out, he blessed him. He did not say, I'm going, but have mercy on me. You know, I'm a stranger in your land. Nothing. He blessed him as he came to Pharaoh. As he went, he blessed the Pharaoh. That means God has given us power and authority in our hands. We have to use it. There are pastors, there are ministers. They do not have that power. They are always afraid to use it. I tell people, why don't you pray for somebody? The person is sick. Oh, if that person doesn't get healed, then what? They will blame us. You're not the healer. Jesus is. Take the name of Jesus and tell the sickness and disease or demon to run. God has given us authority. We have to use that authority. We are not going to bow down our head to anyone. Only God. Okay, let's read verse 11.
And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded.
See, land of Ramses, where the Goshen is, and what he's saying, as the Pharaoh has commanded. What does it mean? He said, Pharaoh gave me command. It's in the book now. He says, Pharaoh is commanded. This is not only my will. He wanted his brother and father living in Goshen, but he made official. Somebody tells you, you know what? I'm going to give you $100 or $1,000 verbally. And you are excited. They can change their word, right? You say, could you put it in the paper? And could you write it down? That's what you have to make it official. People change their words. But when this official, I told you, when my interview was with the man who was giving visa, and I didn't know he was a consular general. He said, I can give you visa. Come within 3 days. I said, if I come today, he said, it's impossible, but I'll do it. I said, could you seal and sign it? So God approval. And so he could not change the word. The point I'm making, now he says, as Pharaoh commanded, it's written in their book that you can live in Goshen as long as you want. They don't want to even let the people go. But here the word of God is saying, Pharaoh has commanded them to live in Ramses and live in Goshen. It's the best land of Egypt. Okay, verse 12.
And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families.
How Joseph is treating his brethren. They were evil. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to destroy him. But he said, I'm going to take care of my mom, my dad, my brothers, and everybody. And I'm going to give them food and their needs accordingly. Whoever wants what, I'll give it to you. That is the lesson we have to learn. Sometimes your children, they are thinking, as soon as we grow big, run away, and I don't want anybody's burden. I'm not going to take care of them. You have to listen to Hege. Hege says, I changed their diaper. Day and night I took care of them. And when I'm old, I'm going to come into their house, my children's house. And I'm going to tell them now, you take care of me because I took care of you. But I'm going to tell a little bit differently. I don't want to be burdened to anyone, my children or grandchildren. I trust in God. If God can raise anybody, to help me. And I don't want to live in this world like a vegetable. I want to live healthy. When God calls, I want to go. But the point I'm making, people are saying, okay, he's treating us bad, but let my time comes, then I'm going to treat him bad. And that's what the generation after generation people do. In India, no one says good about their mother-in-law. And that came to America also. Anytime you talk about mother-in-law, people don't like it. I don't know what is all about this. But some mother-in-law, like Sister Rachel, ask, did you find any mother-in-law like Rachel? I'm not explaining. You go and ask her. She will tell you. Even the people who married to her son and they divorced or gone, she will still keep them like her own daughter. But it's not in India like that. They think, if I be mother-in-law, I'll treat my daughter-in-law good. But as soon as they become mother-in-law, they do the same or worse. Keep on tradition going, and they never learn. Only people will learn who are born again children of God. You have to treat your daughter-in-law better than your daughter. Then they will say, how you treat your daughter-in-law much more than your daughter? Because my daughter, if I slap her, she will not do any wrong. But if I look at my daughter-in-law with an evil eye, she will tell 10,000 people. You treat your daughter-in-law better than your daughter, better than your son. And that's the way to do it. So Joseph is saying, I'm going to take care of you. You did evil to me, but I'm going to do good. Verse 13.
And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth? And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, we will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord, but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land, by us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands.
Okay, now here we see. Joseph was a good steward. He went to Potiphar's house. He made him rich. He took care of his business. He went to prison. He did good business. And his name was good. When he came to Pharaoh, he's not thinking about himself. He wanted to bless Pharaoh. He says, everything he will give it to the Pharaoh and his treasury. And he lived like a king. Here we see all the people live in Egypt. They have to trade everything to get something. He did not give anybody free thing. There are people say they are freeloaders. If you give to freeloaders, they will never change. There is a saying in America, don't give anybody fish all the time. What do? Train them, teach them how to fish. And that's what I learned. Anywhere I go, people ask me money. I say, sir, what are you going to do with the money? If they ask me for good cause, I give it to them. Do the business or do something. Money is not for wasting. And so Joseph learned one thing. I want to be a good steward. And what happened? God blessed Joseph, and God blessed Joseph's family. I'll tell you how. Each and every person has to sell their cattle, sell their property, sell everything to survive. But the Joseph's family, they gave up their land in Canaan. That was not their land. They were still strangers. God promised Abraham, I'm going to give that land someday, Canaan. Egypt is not your land. But when they came to Egypt, God protected them. Here he says, Pharaoh had the law. Everybody can sell anything and you can get it. But the priests, you don't have to get their cattle. You don't have to get their money. You don't have to get their land. Give them free. And that's what America learned. The ministers or the churches, they don't have to pay taxes. And some people are still jealous. Why the churches cannot pay taxes? Why? The church is blessing to the country. And so the Joseph and his family, just like a high priest or kings. That's why Jacob blessed Pharaoh. So Pharaoh considered them like a priest. So don't take anything from Goshen. So they were blessed. So once you live for God, famine comes, problem comes. If God is in your side, he will protect you. So here, Jacob's family didn't trust in Pharaoh, but God protected him and God gave them everything. You have to have a leader in the world. So we don't trust in any man, we trust in God. God is our source. Any leader is godly, God-fearing, live for God. God raise him up. He says, God is the one who has power to lift one person and make him king and put that person down. But it is God who gives the position. But point I'm making, it is in the God's hand, and how the leaders should be godly, God-fearing, and do the right thing, not evil, not dirty tricks, everything pleasing to God, and God will bless. And that's what we see. And Joseph and his family, they survived in the famine. Verse 23.
Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones. And they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years.
Here we see God bless Joseph and his family, and all other people, they lost everything. But still Joseph said, you know, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to give you seed. And when I give you seed, give one-fifth back to me. And if they say yes, he gave the seed. God is making deal with us. I'm going to give you seed for what? For sower. God never asks you 10% before he gives the seed. We have the example of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They all gave 10% to God. God says, I'm going to give you seed first. How Abraham gave? Because God gave Abraham the loot from all these five kings were defeated. So Abraham had more than enough. So he said, I'm going to give 10% to God. And God blessed him. So the point I'm making, they ask 1/5. God is saying, I'm just asking 1/10. You keep 90% for yourself. Just give 10% to God. You will never go wrong. But what people are doing, they ask you, oh Lord, give me job, give me job, give me job. When they get the job, all the seed is eaten. And then what? They lose the job. God protects his people. But the point I'm making, if I start eating my seed, God-given money, we will be poor. We will have problems. But the people who take God's given money, sow it in the kingdom of God, and they prosper. You have example of J.C. Penney, John Wanamaker, Hershey, and there are so many others. They didn't give only 10%, they gave 90% to God. And we have Christian example, Kenneth Copeland, and so many others. They didn't have anything. They start giving to God, now they have their own plans, the ministers. The point I'm making, when God gives you seed to the sower, he has to sow it, and God is going to multiply it. Verse 29.
And the time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt.
Now this is not the second day. The day came, they came to Egypt. This is a long time. 17 years Jacob lived in this land. Now he is 147 years old, ready to die. And he is saying his son, Son, you have to promise me. And he is telling you how to promise. As I told you, you make the promise means solid seal and return. That's the kind of promise you never will lose. So here he's saying, come here close to me. Sometimes we tell your children something and they say, I heard you. And they don't do it what you told them. And sometimes they will say, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. Jacob didn't want to take a chance. He said, come here, I have a question for you. Will you take my body from here when I die and take it to my land when my father and my other grandfather are buried and I want to be buried beside them? And he would have said, yes, no, come close. And put your hand under my thigh. How close you can be. When you put somebody's hand in somebody's thigh, you are not too far from them. You are almost attached to them. And they are close 1 foot or 6 inches away from you. You cannot miss it, what they say. So this was their tradition. If you remember, when Abraham sent Eliezer to find a wife, he said, come here and put your hand under my thigh and promise me. And he did. And he performed the promise. The same thing Jacob is saying. Come closer to me. Put your hand under my thigh. And promise me that you are going to take me from here to my father's land. And he promised him. Let's read further.
But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me, and he sware unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head.
Now, here we see, Jacob is Israel. He said, promise me. He promised him and he said, I'll do it. Now Jacob was satisfied with the answer. He believed my son will obey me. Why he didn't call the Reuben? Reuben was his first son. Or why he didn't call Benjamin? Benjamin is younger than Joseph. Why he called Joseph? Because he knew He is the one who will obey me. And he is the one who will do it, because he had the full faith in his son Joseph. That your father, your brother, your boss, or somebody can trust you. You don't disappoint them. You have to be trustworthy. You have to learn to keep time. Most of the time, I do not cancel my appointment. But I keep my appointment and I go on time. And if somebody promised me and they don't keep their word and they don't keep their time, I do not trust them in the future. They can say, I'm sorry, I made a late. Okay, one time you can be excused. But they have a pattern like that. You cannot trust that person. You cannot give responsibility to that person. You have to be faithful and you have to carry on your job when the job is given to you. And that's the kind of Joseph was. And then he said, seems like he put his head on the border of the bed. Seems like he died. He didn't die. What he was doing, he was satisfied and he bowed his head to God and he started praying. Thank you, Lord. My son wants to obey me. Thank you, Lord, you're going to take care of me. And he was praying. And that's the way the chapter is finishes. Then we'll see next chapter. Jacob is not dead. He is not dying. He prophesied about each and every son before he could die. So we should be faithful to God. God has trusted in us to do his will, to do his work. So God already opening the new door for me. I don't know how much it costs. In India, I was telling other brother yesterday, in India, there was the biggest hall in that state. And I applied 1 year in advance. They said 10 days. I 1 year in advance. And I waited 1 day earlier. I went to the office and said, sir, I didn't get a reply from you. He said, apply. And within 10 days, we will answer you. I said, here is your letter. And here is my application. And here is the date. You did not give me reply yet. Oh, the man who gives you permission is out of town. I said, there is no assistant? No. So how long do I have to wait? Oh, I don't know what time he comes. I said, sir, I did advertisement in the radio and newspaper, billboard, and wrote in the street and everywhere. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to have a tent in front of your hall. He said, wait a minute. I'll come back. Within 5 minutes, he comes. How many days you want? I said, 3 days. We will give you 10 days, free. I'll give you 10 people crew, cleaning crew. You don't have to worry, just preach and go. What I'm trying to say, I did not pay a penny in India, but I got it free. So I don't know what God is going to do here. Same God was in India, same God is in here. I just want people like you to say, go ahead, Pastor Peter, we are with you. We'll be fasting, we'll be praying, and we want to shake this Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, and surrounding Pennsylvania things. Shall we rise? Our God is a great God, and he does great things. He used Joseph, he can use us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We just trust in you. Our source is not the government. Our source is not the king. Our source is not the man. Our source is Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.